Okay, good evening. It is 8 o'clock on October 19th, 2016. That's Eastern Daylight Time, and this is the NLA Hamsnet. I'm KC3, HVA, Jan in Pennsylvania, and I guess I'm conducting the net tonight. This will be a directed net initially. So I'm going to ask for a check-in, and I forgot to get a clean sheet of paper here. Hold on a second. There we go. And then I'm going to go back through and see if anyone wants to make a comment. Now, when you want to talk or check in, please give your call sign, if you have one, your state, and your name. If you don't have a call sign, just give me your state and your name. So I'm going to go down through and do a check-in first, and then I'll give some comments about the NLA Hamnet status. Now, this is just to get you thinking, so don't ask any questions yet. When you check in, just tell me if you have any traffic, and I'll get back to you in the order that you check in. So if you really have a super question, hopefully for Terry, when I call or when you check in, just let me know and we'll check your name. Okay, I'd like to ask for all members who have a call-in, call sign, to check in now. Feel free.
Flight control.
Terry, Colorado.
Yes, we have two. Go ahead, Wonder Ann.
Kilo Whiskey 4 X-Ray Golf. Wonder Ann, South Carolina. I do have a comment later.
Okay, great. Thanks. Next.
Ava from New Jersey.
Okay. Do you have a question for later?
No, not at this time.
Okay, nope. Anybody else from Mars or anywhere?
Kilo.
Say again, please.
It's Kilo Mike 4, Whiskey Uniform Juliet, Bruce in Florida.
Great, thanks.
Kilo Next. India 0, Romeo Echo, Terry in Colorado.
Hi, Terry.
Hi,
okay.
Jan.
Do you have a question for later, Terry?
Maybe. I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Anyone else?
Mary, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Jan. Jan, I called and left a voicemail on your phone.
Okay.
I wanted to order the equipment. I did speak with Terry.
Oh, okay.
But I do need to speak with someone to place the order.
Okay.
I'm not going to be able to do it through the website. When you get a chance, okay?
Okay.
If you wouldn't mind
calling.
All right, thanks.
Great. Anyone else? With or without a call sign. We'll take anybody. Okay, I'd like to give you a little rundown on kind of what our status is, mainly on stuff on the web page and things like that. The communications plan, as Terry mentioned last week, you can find that on the NationalLibertyAlliance.org website by just putting in /ham after NLA.org. Or if you like, depending on how you like to do things, you can go to the blue banner at the top of any web page on the website and click on the Committee of Safety and then scan down to the Emergency Communications Plan. And sorry about that. There you'll find information on the plan as well as things like the Bofang transmitter receiver there, as well as a button to click to order it, or if you click the button, you can find out the characteristics of it and that sort of thing. Now, I've had several calls or emails in the last few days wondering where people's radios are, and I checked on the orders that have been placed, and as of 10/17/16, all the orders we had, except for two for radios, were shipped, and they gave us an estimated time from the USPS of 2 to 9 days. I don't know where the 9 comes from, but some places, I guess, they take longer to deliver. So anywhere from 2 to 9 days, if you've ordered a transceiver, you should have it, and the other accessories you've ordered. There were two orders that were not shipped. One's for Kurt Strong and Stephanie, and that should be shipped today or tomorrow, and two for Gordon Smith. We are currently out of radios and are in the process of reordering another batch. So as they say in the advertising world, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, get your order in now and be the first in line for the new bunch. Right? Several things we've not talked about yet on our hamnet meetings are the various antennas that are available for the Bofang and where or how to use them. Now, if you go to the website and look under the Bofang and accessories, you'll find we have two antennas available. One is the 15.6 Nagoya NA771. It's a little whip antenna, and that screws into your Bofang. It's quite a bit longer, almost three times longer than the one that comes with it. And all you have to do is unscrew your old antenna. In fact, I think it's not installed when you get it, so you know how to already install it and remove it. So just remove your present antenna and screw in the longer whip. Now, this is a larger antenna, and it will give you increased range performance. Because of the polarization in the electromagnetic field for UHF and VHF, the radio antenna should be held in a vertical position when you use it. So if you're using your little handheld, make sure it's out in front of you and it's straight up and down. That way you'll get the best radiation pattern.
Southeast. Monday night. Much northwest moving.
Thank you, Charlie. And a second antenna that you might want to take a look at that we have available, and you can have some fun with this one. It's a Nagoya UT72. It's a 19-inch long magnetic mount roof antenna. You can mount it in the center of the roof on your car, and the metal roof makes an excellent electromagnetic ground plane. It comes complete with everything you need to use it with your little Bofang, and it has a 14-foot electrical cable plus a little 10-inch adapter cable that screws into the 14-foot cable on one end, and then it has the special little connector to screw in the top of your radio on the other end. Now, all you need to do is plop that antenna in the center of the roof of your car and then route the cable inside the car. Probably the easiest installation would be to check the fit of your door trim of your least used door and see if there's an area there where you can run the cable through where it won't get pinched. And then just shut the door and hook up the adapter to your Bofang and the antenna cable, and you're all ready to go. Now, that cable is a heavier cable than normal. It's an RG174, which is resistant to pinching, crimping, and weather impact. Now, if you really want to have some fun, find a friend with a mobile UHF or VHF radio, or encourage someone to buy one of ours and to work with you. And you can go to various locations in your area and test the range capabilities and see how the radio performs as a function of terrain. Sitting on the highest hill around with one of the radios and another high point for the other should give the best performance. And you can practice if you have a place where you have a hill and you have a relatively flat area going out for a number of miles. You can have one person sit on top of the hill, have the other one just drive out radially down the hill or across the plain, and you'll be able to tell about what your range is for unobstructed use. Avoid positioning yourself where there are a lot of obstacles in the line of sight between the two of you. Now, the last antenna I would like to mention is a one wavelength UHF VHF antenna. And you can mount that vertically on your house roof or other high place nearby. That gives you a base station capability, even with your little handheld. Now, this will require a lead-in cable to the location in your house where you use your Bofang. You'll need a matching transformer or Balam also. And it would probably be handy for most of us to have a young neighbor who likes to climb and install antennas on the roof to do that. We're currently looking into suitable units, and we will put one in the NLA store just as soon as we can make a decision on the best one for us to use. And we will make sure that everything comes that you need to install it, so you don't have to chase around and get a lot of stuff. Just buy it, take it out of the box, follow the directions, install it. Now, that can greatly enhance your maximum range capability for the little UHF-VHF units. First, the antenna is more directional in the vertical plane. It puts more energy down where you want it, near the horizon. And it'll be located at a greater elevation than when you use your Bofang inside the house or just walking around outside.
Comment?
I was just going to ask for that comment. Please give me your comment.
Okay. The other thing is that most of your external antennas are built to be outside, so they're weatherproofed. And you want to put a little drip loop in them. But many of them have above a unity gain. So they will give you two or three times the power out, depending upon the antenna, of course, that you choose and how much money you want to spend. Back to you.
Thanks, Terry. That's good input. Another thing on the little car radio that has a coil at the base of the antenna, which serves two functions. It's a tuning coil, and it also makes it flexible so it doesn't get broken easy if you happen to drive under something low or some kid comes along and yanks on it. So it is a nice feature, too. But you're right. They are more durable, and they are made for outdoor use. Does anyone else have any questions on antennas?
Hi, this is Kilo Whiskey 4X-ray Golf. And on the antennas, the difference are both of the first two you talked about. The second one you said was a magnetic for the car. Was the first one also, and are they adaptable in the same way you were just saying, or did I miss something, low-hanging tree or garage? Sometimes I used to brush them off, things off the top of the car when I went into a garage, which shouldn't have been knocked off. But so I'm just wondering how they are adaptable for people like me that drive like that.
You'll hear that whump, whump, whump as that antenna, bounces down the door to the garage if it's an overhead door. It's only 21 inches long. Let me look back, 19 inch long. So it sticks up with the coil and the base on it, probably 21, 22 inches. So that should not be enough to hit the top of your garage door. Most garage doors are 8 foot, unless you have a suburban or something like that. If you have a modest, low-slung vehicle, it shouldn't be a problem. Now, the first antenna is strictly for use in your little Bofang. You just unscrew the antenna that's there and screw it into the top of your handheld unit. So if you're very tall, you might have trouble hitting the door. Other than that, you're in good shape.
Okay, cool. I didn't get that nuance. One was for the handheld and one was for the car. Gotcha.
Right.
Kilo Whiskey 4X-ray Golf. Over.
Right. Good question. Any other questions? Okay. Well, I would like to encourage everyone, that does not have a ham license to seriously consider getting one now. And there's two ways to study for the exams. It depends on how you learn best, what your mode is. Do you like to scan through a book? Do you like to stare at a computer screen? And if you want to go the book route, the American Radio Relay League ham radio license manual is a good reference. Just get a copy and study it. And they have sample quizzes and everything in there. Or if you like the computer, you can sign up for the computer-aided study and exam guide. I'm sure there's many of them out there. The one I used is the ham radio licenseexam.com. And another avenue of success would be to find yourself an Elmer and have him partake or her partake in your education. I noticed that all of the exams that I took, they always had at least one woman there, so they do have Elmeresses, or I don't know what you call them, but they're still an Elmer.
They're still Elmers.
In the thought, mm-hmm. No, which is good. Okay, now, one thing I should have mentioned maybe is you can use the Bofang on the 5 multi-use radio service, or MURS channels, without having a ham license. Now, these are very low power and operate in the 151 to 204 megahertz frequency range. Now, under that channel, you're limited to radiating 2 watts or less of RF power, and the Bofang only has the one that everybody has bought so far, which is the 8-watt unit. It has power settings of 1, 4, and 8 watts, so you'd be limited to the 1-watt transmit power. Therefore, the usable range is probably pretty small, maybe a mile, maybe if you're lucky, 2. So it'd be kind of similar to using your children's walkie-talkie. So I would suggest that, you know, if you're at all serious about using the radio for communications, that you begin to study and try and get a license. And then there are other things that you can do. You can get a linear amplifier to put on the output of your Bofang to increase the power radiated by it. If you do that, be sure that you have an internal antenna that is external to you and a ways away from you. You don't want to be next to it. Okay, any more questions?
I have a comment.
Yep.
This power thing, it kind of rolls off slowly. It's not like you get out to 2 miles and all of a sudden you can't hear them. It's more they get weaker and weaker and weaker.
Right.
But you might be surprised how far 1 watt will get you.
Mm-hmm.
In line of sight, if there's no trees, no buildings, no mountains in your way, you can talk a little further than 2 miles. I've done it as much as about 4 miles on FRS before. But we were in a good position where we could see each other if we had binoculars. So a line of sight. I yield back to you.
I see you're like Doug, but you're one of those mountain gals that gets up on the mountain top and looks across to the next one, and it works great. I've got all kinds of obstruction. Like if I want to have an antenna to the west, I've got a cherry tree that's about 40 foot. I got to go through on one side of the house and a one-story shed with a metal roof, and then a barn with a silo. Both have metal roofs, and the barn's stone. And I also have another peak on the house that would be an obstruction, and it has a metal roof. If I go to the other side, I've got a row of about 20 loose spruce trees that are high enough to be in the field. And then I've got 3 huge evergreens that are about 70 feet tall. So, yeah, it'd be nice to have that clear shot where I could see people across the valley. That'd be great. But you're absolutely right. You know, if you have those situations, even these little units at 1 watt will carry a long range. I've read of some people that go out in the desert, you know, and they want to see how it reacts on different terrains, and so they'll get on the flat first, and they'll have one guy, you know, go out on a radio and keep talking, and he gets weaker and weaker until finally they can't discern what he's saying. They figure that's their flat line of sight, and then they'll get another guy, and they'll put him on top of a hill, the highest hill they can find around, and do the same thing again out across the flat just to see what, under more optimum conditions, they can do. And sometimes they get up to 8, 9, 10 miles out of that. So it all depends on, you know, what your terrain is, and how many obstacles you have. Well, I have, I guess I should call to see if there's any latecomers that would like to check in that we didn't get on the first round. If so, please speak right up. Feel free.
Yes, this is Greg in Florida.
Hi, Greg.
Hi there. I had a question.
Okay.
I ordered a radio, and I still haven't received it. You know, the first week they were in, I got the programming cable and the disc, but I still haven't seen the radio. So I just wonder what the status was on those.
Okay, hold on a second, and I can find that for you. Right there. Greg, right?
Yes.
Did you request it with programming?
No.
Gregory Price? No.
That's it.
Okay, it shows programming on this list.
Oh, really? It
should have been mailed out on the 17th to Florida, I would think probably 3 days maybe,
okay,
by USPS. So, yeah, if you don't hear or get it soon, shoot me an email, and I'll check again to see what the status is. But it was in the mail 2 days ago.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. That's all I had.
Sure. Great. Anyone else want to be a late registrar? Okay. This is when we go to Mars, and we ask Terry what it was she was going to tell us tonight, if she has anything she'd like to share.
Okay, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to say tonight, but I, after talking about antennas, it made me think, you know, there is a lot of science and a lot of physics behind all this, all the way that all of this works. Radio propagation is not, there's physics behind it, but if you miss one thing, sometimes it affects other things. I'll give you a for instance. If you have 1 watt, you cannot expect to hit all the places that you might hit with 100 watts on the same day at the same time. Are there days when 1 watt you can talk all across the United States and maybe to the southern hemisphere? Yes. Are there days when 100 watts won't get you to the southern hemisphere and you won't be able to talk very far? Yes. So weather has a lot to play in it. And the more you know about how radio waves propagate, the more you find out that you want to have the strongest antenna, the best antenna you can get. You want to have as much power as you can afford, because it does cost money every time you go up in power a little bit. And you want to know how the layers of the atmosphere work so that you know how to use them to talk to the places you want to get. Hams are doing this all the time. And some of them have gotten very good. I know I can reach this person between 3 and 4 my time in the afternoon, because I can just reach where the radio wave starts bouncing about then. I can reach this other person up until about 6 a.m. And it's things like that you gradually learn about. But any ham will tell you, if you can invest in power or antenna or a new radio, whatever it is, feed line, the biggest gains are achieved by concentrating on getting a good antenna that works right for you. And so the money you spend on antenna is well worth it. This idea that VHF and UHF travel line of sight is pretty hard and fast. And I have talked on repeaters hundreds of miles and had conversations with people that are hundreds of miles apart, and none of them that close to me. I live in West Denver, Broomfield, Northwest Denver, between Boulder and Denver. And I've talked to people just north of Pueblo, over by Lamar, Colorado, and up in Cheyenne, all at the same time using repeaters. That's because the repeaters are up on top of a mountain or a high tower, so they've got a little elevation, and they're using more power, and they've got a good antenna. You always want a good antenna on a repeater. So it is dependent upon the physics, and the more you know about the physics, the better off you are. But go with what you feel that you can afford. Don't overextend yourself. Get used to using what you have. And you can start out with that little radio with a regular antenna and say, no, I want to talk on it at home, and I want an external antenna because I'm not getting out to where I want to be. That's the time to get your new equipment after you've thought about it and tried it. So that's just a suggestion. Now, we've been talking UHF and VHF, which are pretty much the same propagation. There's a little difference, especially around 50 megahertz, because you're kind of, that's where it changes over from UHF to or VHF, just plain HF, high frequency, down between 30 and 50 megahertz. But HF is a different animal. We found out about HF long before we found out about the others, because at one time, HF was all we had. We couldn't, there are charts, older charts, that just dribble off and they don't address anything above 30 megahertz because they're old. And we couldn't use those higher frequencies at that time. But the HF has different propagation, and it's good to learn that. And I want to ask, I'm dying to ask, do you have your radio yet, Jan? And have you tried HF yet?
I have my radio.
And yay, congrats.
Yep, I got that before I got anything else because it was on sale. So I figured I better grab it while I could. The antenna, I just drilled a hole through the side of the house without hitting any wiring or plumbing to bring the lead in. So I'm almost there. In another day or two, if it doesn't rain, I should be all set.
Cool. Okay, well, that's all I had, and I'm here to answer questions if anybody needs it, if Jan can answer it.
Yep. Okay, thanks for that. Terry's exactly, absolutely right on that. You spend the money where it does the most good. And an antenna, for example, get the best one that you can afford. Now, propagation is something I think maybe we should try and teach a little something on in the upcoming sessions. There are predictive programs out there for some of the HF bands that give you current, or what they call it, almost current conditions for propagation and things like that. So once you start getting into that, if you do, there are aids available. And like Terry has mentioned at least twice now, the different modes where we get bounces off different layers of the atmosphere, and these come down anywhere from 400 to 1,200 or more miles away. And so it can be really interesting to see what's on the other end of that. And like she says, it varies. It's a function of day. There is another type of propagation that goes up and down the shadow line between the sun and the night. And so that's a north-south type of propagation. I think all of those things are kind of fascinating, and I think maybe that's something that we need to investigate and say a little bit about. Maybe it'll whet somebody's appetite to learn more about it and get a ham rig if they don't have one and begin to experience this sort of thing. I'm totally new to hams, ham radio. I've never had one. I had a CB about 40 years ago. which I think maybe still works. I haven't turned it on in ages and ages. But thinking about propagation, you know how TV stations, where do they go? 100 miles, 200 miles, somewhere in that range. When I was a kid, I lived in north central Iowa, and later in life I lived in Connecticut on the eastern edge, and they're about 1,000 miles apart. And back in those prehistoric times, we had TV antennas with rotors on them because signal didn't come in on the cable or anything like that. So you would tune, you'd pick the channel you wanted, you know where it was, so you'd rotate the antenna to the direction of the channel. Well, I was sitting there. We had a Channel 3, I think it was New Haven in Connecticut. And so I rotated the antenna just for kicks, and I picked up Channel 3 in Mason City, Iowa, KGLO. Sat there, watched it clear as the bill for a half an hour, and it was about 1,000 miles away. Then I rotated toward the south. I got some station down in Georgia somewhere, and then went on around to my regular station. So that's totally abnormal, but it does happen. HF, you're able to experience more of that sort of phenomenon than you can UHF and VHF. So I really don't have much more to offer. Does anyone have any further questions? Because I wouldn't mind breaking before the 9 o'clock hour because it makes it easier for me because I don't have to split the audio tape in half after we get done to put up the two different segments for tonight.
Could I ask a quick question?
You surely may.
Forgive me if this is old to all of you. There's a, in looking at the website at the National Liberty and the Bayo thing, there's a program software CD and USB program and cable. What is that for?
That's for programming the presets on your Bofang from your computer. The little disc allows you to set up. You can go in and pick your channels or frequencies and then program them right in so you'll be able to scan all those that you put in sequence and it'll pick the one that's the highest or comes on first and you can listen to it.
That's above my pay grade. That's above my pay grade, Jan. That's over my...
It makes it easier because you don't have to sit there and manually punch the numbers in on the little Bofang. You can sit and type them in on your keyboard once you've done it. You know, it's easy. Or if you have two.
Is that right?
Yeah. To me, it is. I don't like these little bitty, you know, I don't like even laptops because the keys are too small for me. But the keys on these, they're not too bad. I can run them better than I can with a laptop.
Okay, but and is the one at the website interchangeable for either unit, either the BF or the 4 or the 8 watt?
Yeah, there is two offered, and one is the older. It's an older version. I think it's version 3, and the new one, the 8 watt, is the version 4. I could be off by one number on that. It could be 4 and 5. But the new one has some features that the old one doesn't have. The new one is the Model 8, whatever it is.
Right, but is there this apparently is saying it's for the UV5R
right.
BF?
They're all.
888S?
Yes. Everything
so
on there is
either
compatible.
One?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Everything on there
okay,
is compatible.
Thank you.
Any of the accessories will screw into the 4-watt or the 8-watt or the 5-watt, I guess it is, the other one. Yeah, they're all interchangeable. They're made that way deliberately, which is a nice thing.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate
sure.
it.
This is Kilo Whiskey 4 X-Ray Golf with a question.
Go ahead, Kilo.
On the antenna that you mount on top of the car, should you be taking that in off the top of your car if you go into a store, or do you just use your mobile antenna when you're only going to do, a mobile drive and you want to be in connection with people? I just don't know what is the safety thing or the practicalness. Would people recognize it as something that's cacheable? Over.
I'm not sure. Back in the day when CBs were popular, everybody had a whip that was about 3 foot long on the top of their car, or the truckers had one on each mirror. I think initially the local kids got a bang out of going wrong and twanging them, but I never did hear many people that never lost one. I always just left mine on the roof, never had any problem. I think what I would do, though, is put your transceiver, your little boat thing, out of sight in the car if you leave it in the car. Otherwise, you're unscrewing it and screwing it on each time, hooking it up and so on.
Go ahead.
It's just a matter of choice which way you want to do it.
Because it brought up another question regarding the heat of a car during the summer to leave electronic equipment in a car.
Does it bother your car radio?
Well, it had these smartphones explode and iPads explode with the heat.
Yeah. Do you have a black car?
I have a fire engine red car.
Oh, I thought maybe you were going to use it on your scooter.
No, I'd have to put the antenna on my head, on my helmet.
That would work. You get a little extra altitude that way.
Yeah, I can magnetize it.
We have a person out here in Colorado named Rip Van Winkle. He's gone by Rip. Actually, Howard Van Winkle. He's gone by Rip all his life. He built himself a little antenna, and then on top of one of these construction helmets that we have to wear at construction sites, and lined it with aluminum foil and grounded it, and it looked pretty strange, but he got good reception out of that antenna in there.
Yeah.
He would hook the antenna down to it while he walked. But I usually, if you think about it, you're going to be locking your doors and your feeding wire, the antenna feed from your radio to the antenna is going to go through a crack in that door.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as the door is locked, they'd have to cut the cable. And most guys think it's too much hassle and they can't really use the antenna anyway. So it does okay. It stands. And I don't have anybody bother mine. Back to that.
I've got one of those helmets, Terry.
Okay. Well, you can do it too. I give you an idea.
Yeah, you have.
Okay.
I could walk around with my helmet on. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yep.
Over.
Just remember not to use it on your scooter because the wind noise will be horrific on the microphone, okay? Stop when you want.
You're absolutely right.
Okay, any other comments or questions or anything anybody would like to add before we sign off tonight?
I would, if I don't mind it. My name's Rick. I'm in Southern Illinois, and I'm new to NLA about a week now, and I've been spending most of the day just going through all these web pages and stuff, like a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
And got to the part there today of the COS there, and then there's a handbook, and Wander Ann?
Yes.
Okay. I came across there on the one that you had, you'd commented about the Madgrave that you were talking about.
Oh, yes.
And I never heard of that. And I'm fascinated with magnets, and I've been doing these neo-magnet kind of energy, trying to figure this stuff out for a couple of years, and I heard that today. And I went to YouTube. And, yeah, I found all these YouTube videos on that. My question was, is that out of all the YouTube videos, there's a couple other ones, and they're shortened. Some of them have, like, short ones, and they're different. They were built different. But are they still on the same as what you have? Does that make sense?
One of Yes, your question is a very good question. This is Wonder Ann, Kilo Whiskey 4 X-Ray Golf, and what you looked at are the variations of how people put them together. It's the concept. And if you're interested in that, I have an energy think tank on Sunday evening where I'm building it, someone else is building something else, and someone else is building another type. And we have quite a few NLAs that are starting to join us to learn about alternative energy. Let's wait until we go off the air as far as NLA Ham, and then I'll give you my email address, okay?
That would be great, yeah, okay. Thank you.
I'm formerly from Chicago, so Southern is good. Oh, sorry.
I lived up in Chicago for 20-something years, so I don't miss it.
Okay. It's quieter in the South. Thank you.
Interesting.
It looks like someone's running in there. Their little mouse is running around in his little pedal wheel.
Yep, sounds like it.
I thought they were clapping.
It's all our viewpoints, right?
Chicago's a good place to be from.
There you go, Nikki. All right.
Okay.
Sign off.
Any last comments or questions from anybody?
It's really fun to look at the Big Dipper and then fly all the way around it, going several times in light, and see
I'll
where
bet
the
it
stars
is.
Are positioned in 3D space. So I just thought I'd throw in that comment. I've been flying the planetarium while we're talking. This is KI0RE. Thank you very much for hosting tonight, Jan.
Sure. I guess I guess we best sign off. I'll kill the recording a minute. This is KC3HVA signing off, stopping the video or the